while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, church family. And good morning to you if you're worshipping with us online. It's just so wonderful to be in his house this morning, worshipping this our King of Heaven. And as a dear sister reminded me recently, it is indeed an honour and also a privilege to be preaching the message this morning. And I really give God thanks. It's been a busy time, but he's really laid some stuff on my heart. And my prayer is that as I speak to you through his word and his Holy Spirit will minister to you according to his will for your lives. So today's theme title is simply keep going. And before I go into it, I have to say, I really appreciate this design, Pastor. I work in a creative industry, and in most companies that I've worked, you go inside and in the reception, there's like a neon light. And in the one that I'm in at the moment, it says, be yourself in yellow. So thank you. Appreciate this. Very on trend, sir. but yes, today's sermon is simply just some thoughts and some reflections on the main verse. And I just encourage you to consider what the phrase keep going means for you, what it means for your situation. Our sermon notes ask this question, and I'll just read it. Without a firm foundation, anything that is built is likely to fall. Upon what standards are we building our successes, our significance, our security and satisfaction? So, firm foundations. Does anybody know the game Jenga? Jenga, yes? I think I've got a picture of it, actually, media team. I don't know if you put it up. But yes, Jenga is it's a game that's usually played in pairs or in groups. It's a good one to play at Christmas time when you've got the family over. And the idea is that you kind of build these like a tower of blocks. And the game, the essence of the game, okay, so funny, I'm sure it will come up in a second, is that you, so each player has to like pull out one of the blocks without the whole thing collapsing. So it's a really, really good game, and it's I guess it puts everyone on an even level. There's no hard questions or anything like that, so it's a very fun one to play. And the other game I thought about when I was thinking about firm foundations, not game, activity, task, is Lego. Everyone knows Lego. Right, yeah, Lego. Okay, good. So Lego is quite similar. So you obviously have lots of blocks that you build up. But have you ever built something with Lego and then maybe like you've worked out that perhaps not everything's together, you need to pull something apart, and as you go to take one piece out, the whole thing just collapses? Or in our house, where my son Emmanuel might be building a Lego thing nicely in the corner, quietly building his car or whatever with Lego, and then Ethan, the toddler, is like, as soon as it's perfectly built and everything, and it's just chaos. So those were some thoughts that I had when I thought about foundations. But no, let's get back to business. So our main verse for today is Philippians 4, verses 10 to 13. And I encourage you to have it open in your Bibles, as I will be referring back to it and focusing my thoughts and reflections on it. So I'll just read it again. I know Simone read it for us before, but I'll read it again. So it says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord. At last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do this through him who gives me strength. Amen. So just a bit of context, the book of Philippians is the Apostle Paul addressing the church in Philippi. And this is a church that he started, a church that he planted, and is said to be the first church in Europe, actually. It was located in ancient Greece. And he's writing to, in this particular chapter of the Bible, he's writing to the church from prison in Rome. And he's thanking them for their generosity. And from the time it was established, the church in Philippi was healthy, it was strong and generous, becoming a model church, a bit like us, that only experienced minor problems of disunity, which we read earlier in the chapter. But for today, I'd like to focus on the verses that I just read. Because the Apostle Paul says he has learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Contentment, what does that mean to you? I love definition. So I looked at the I thought I understood what it meant, but I thought, no, let me just check. And the dictionary says that contentment is defined as a state of happiness and satisfaction. Paul writes, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Okay, can I just be human for a minute? Is that okay? Being content in any and every situation. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do or to feel. Maybe it's just me. Oh, thank you. It wasn't a rhetorical one, but thank you, I'll take it. I mean, right now we're going through a cost of living crisis. Everything is expensive. And I Googled recently, because, you know, I just like to see what the world says about these things sometimes. And I Googled, when is the cost of living crisis actually going to end, on Google. So I typed this in. And one of the articles said 2028. Like, thank you, Lord, that I have you. I mean, we've gone through a pandemic, right? By the grace of God, we'll get through this as well. But thinking about seasons in which we're in need or when we're hungry, and I know Paul's talking about food potentially, but this could be related to any season of difficulty, of trial, of the valleys, as Pastor mentioned. When it comes to a difficult situation, when, I don't know if you've heard this phrase, when the maths isn't mathing. Has everyone heard that? I love it. I mean, I don't love it, but I love the phrase. You know, when like you've got your bills and, you know, things are just, it's a lot. So not adding up, yeah. And when hard decisions have to be made, and I'm talking about really hard ones, when you think that you've got everything covered and then something else is thrown your way unexpectedly. And you're crying out to God, how long, Lord? How long? How are we meant to respond and how do we keep going? There's something that Pastor Deji said in a sermon, I think it was a couple of months ago, but it's really stuck with me and stood out to me about the fact as Christians, we're actually, I hope I'm getting this right, Pastor. Spiritual beings having a human experience. And if Christ is our foundation, if we've accepted him as our personal Lord and Saviour, and we walk daily with him, the access that we have with him through his word and as his children, he'll change our circumstances, won't he? You'll see miracles, you'll see breakthroughs, you'll see mountains moved. But I have to say, sometimes when we're in difficulty and when we're living in want, sometimes we seek to escape the reality of the situation. And I feel like that's a dangerous place to be. And look around us, the world offers avenues of escapism and temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. One of the things that spoke to me about this is how we spend our time and what we consume when we're in that season of want and trial. And we have to be wise. We have to be wise, full stop, but more so. You know, social media, advertising, if you let it, so many things can lead to temptation to want more and more and more. And I really want to encourage us not to be passengers, but to be in the driving seats when it comes to how we spend our time and in what we consume. Like, if you know me, I like going to nice restaurants every now and again. Doesn't happen so often now, but, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, my husband, Tunde, took me to the Ned, which is a hotel and restaurant in Bank. And you walk in there and it's like you're transported back to, have you been to like 1920? You know, I love Art Deco. Blame my mum. I kind of grew up watching Poirot and, like, you know, Agatha Christie and being in that, so I love it. I really appreciate it. So yes, Tunde took me there a couple of birthdays ago and I had a lovely experience. And, like, give me a nice experience any day. I no longer need to, like, capture it and post it on social media. I'm not saying that, you know, it's bad to post your experiences. Even I post from time to time. But what I am saying is if all you see on your Instagram and social media is materialism, luxury, and you're in a season of want, that's going to affect you. Likewise, if you decide, and I'm talking about social media here, but it could be any media, if you decide to follow Bible-based accounts, preachers, churches, like at PHBC London, other stewards of the gospel, you know, every fourth or fifth feed that you see, there's going to be a scripture there, or a word for you, or an encouragement. The same thing applies to the company we keep. And let me whisper this, actually I'll say it quietly. We're allowed to unfollow accounts. We're allowed to unfollow people. So if you see something that doesn't fit in with who Christ has called you to be, if you see something and the Holy Spirit's like, let it go. Unfollow, delete, remove. We need to be alert, especially in seasons of want and in need. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In our seasons of want, we can be more vulnerable. So we need to be on guard, stand firm in the faith, and be courageous. And sometimes being courageous is simply learning to bloom where you are in your season, you know? Stepping out in faith and continuing to flourish, to share the good news, to be that person that reaches out to someone, to continue in prayer. Paul doesn't say in our main theme for today, he doesn't say in the verse that I am content. He doesn't say I have the secret of contentment. He says, I have learned to be content. I have learned the secret of contentment. So let's just stop here for a minute. Baptisms, woo! Oh, I was so blessed. I'm so excited for Dennis, Jeremy and Daniel to see three young men just, I mean, wow. And the testimonies. Wasn't it wonderful and inspiring? And I'm excited for what God is going to do through these young men and through their journeys. Here's the thing. It's a journey. We don't become who Christ has called us to be overnight. It's a process. So the way I approach a sermon today is very different to the way I approached my first sermon, you know, reading all the different perspectives and here, you know, just a different, I was a different person. Now I'm like, Lord, use me, I'm your vessel. I'm just going to talk and write, you do the rest. Amen. That's taken time for me to get to this place. And I was talking to Winnie about this. I still get nervous. I don't want that to change. You know, but what has changed is that I've grown in my walk with Christ. I'm not perfect. I fall down. I'm not always walking around joyfully. Ask Tunde. But my faith in him through some of the decisions and the habits I have formed, the decisions I have made to stay rooted in Christ, has developed my relationship with him. And developing this relationship with Christ is key, because he becomes your rock, the rock that you can rely on. When you lay your burdens at his feet, he lifts you up and walks with you. So how do you keep going in seasons of want? By clinging to Christ in all you are and in all you do. We also need to consider that, you know, God is all-seeing and all-knowing. His ways aren't our ways. Sometimes these trials come because he wants to get your attention. He wants to show you something about yourself. He wants to remind you of his love for you. We need to give God thanks in all situations and have an attitude of gratitude to him. Seek him first and his righteousness, knowing that if it is his will, he will answer your prayer and get you through this. So that's living in want. I'm going to go on to living in plenty. Do we think it's easier to be content living in plenty? I don't know. Again, the world tells us to spend everything that we have on ourselves. We need to have a certain car, certain lifestyle. And then there's this pressure to maintain it. I was watching a documentary last week about some footballers that went away, and they had one of them had a really emotional moment and was saying that he's very anxious about his future because he's made all of this money in, you know, don't ask me what they're called, I don't know those details, but he was worried because he was like, I'm going to retire and I'm not sure how I'm going to maintain the lifestyle that I've had all these years. And I don't think Paul was specifically talking about being rich in our key verse, but I think it's worth mentioning, as the Bible and Jesus have so much to say on the subject of money and of riches. There's no doubt that God blesses his children. Look at the promise he made to Abraham and how he blessed him and his generations because of Abraham's obedience to God. And in the New Testament, Jesus reminds us we need to be careful with wealth and the love of money. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate one or love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Luke 18:22-26. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you lack, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich, referring to the rich man. Jesus, seeing he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." So, seasons of plenty. We need to seek God and ask him for wisdom. You know, God blesses us so that we can bless others. And the call of the Christian is to give Look at the church in Philippi. So if God has laid it on your heart through his Holy Spirit to give, whether it be to church or to someone you know, I would encourage you to do so. Remember, his plan for us goes beyond us. And have you ever been in a situation where someone blesses you unexpectedly? Helpers of destiny, I hear people like this often referred to. You've been in a tight spot, or maybe you've been in a difficult position and out of the blue someone deposits something in your account, or you find a £20 note on the floor, or you get some sort of refund just like that. God loves a cheerful giver. And so the calling on us is to be generous with our treasure, especially to the poor. Another thing that I was reflecting on is giving when you don't feel you have much to give. And like the verse in 2 Corinthians says, it's not about giving reluctantly or under compulsion. But I do believe that sometimes we have the desire to give, even when on the face of it, our circumstances do not permit us to. I think of the story of in the Bible of Elijah and the widow, and how she basically gave him her last meal, and God blessed her through it. I'm not saying give your last meal or your last penny to a passing prophet unless the Holy Spirit asks you to do that. But what I am saying is sometimes we need to give in faith. When the Apostle Paul says, "I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation," he's speaking about his assurance that he has in Christ, the assurance that he will take care and meet his needs. Isn't that the peace of God? The peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that gives you rest and not anxiety. The peace that, knowing whatever the weather, our Lord and our Saviour Jesus Christ is with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we can go to the rock, the author and finisher of our faith, and ask him to supply our needs. So, do you ever look back at where you've been in life and literally get shivers? You actually went through that situation of being in want and came out the other side stronger in your faith. Your story has encouraged so many. And when you shared your testimony, there were tears, shouts of joy, people wanting to find out more about Christ. Remember that testimony and the breakthroughs, and hold on to them when the times of want come again. Learn this secret to being content in any and every situation because of what God has done, but mainly because of who he is, and stay close to the anchor, God the anchor. So in conclusion, how do we keep going? How do we go through living in plenty and want? Simply, as Paul says, we can do all things through Christ, who is our strength. Learning to lean into God in every situation and making Christ the centre of your life and making it a priority to give to God and everything that concerns us to him. Drawing closer to Jesus to live in his way. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 to 9 and verses 16 to 18. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Earlier, I talked about the cost of living crisis. Well, as an example, We say, even through this situation and its challenges, and there are challenges, we are being renewed day by day. Amen. God, by his grace, will take us through this and beyond. More importantly, why should we keep going? Our call is to show the world that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we do this through how we live. This includes how we respond to situations, the trials, our circumstances. It includes what motivates us and which foundation we are building our success, significance, security, and satisfaction on. It's important that we remember that the kingdom of heaven is alive in us, through Christ in us. So whatever our situation is today, by faith, keep going. Keep going. Through Christ who gives us strength in obedience to God. Knowing that because Jesus died for our sins and our transgressions, we are not only saved for this life, but internally. We must therefore keep going in the upward call of Christ so that you and me can truly say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.